Microsoft is working hard to improve the reputation of its Internet Explorer web browser and is set to raise the security bar even higher in version 9, currently under development. On a visit to Microsoft's Redmond campus near Seattle in Washington State, I asked John Scarrow, General Manager of Safety Services, where he sees the cutting edge of browser security technology now and where he sees it going in the next year or so.
I think you're just now starting to see folks become aware of this concept of social engineering versus, you know, these drive-bys. We were talking earlier today about, you know, drive-bys being something that exploits a vulnerability in your PC, some software you have on your PC or the operating system or the browser or an ActiveX control or a plugin, whatever. And those get a lot of airwave. People talk a lot about those. They're fun to poke fun at whatever software company it was that had a vulnerability. So they get a lot of talk. Then there's these social engineering attacks. And in 8, we've taken a really big stab at this, and I think moving forward, you're going to see more innovation in this area. The amount of social engineered malware is considerably more in terms of efficacy, in terms of effective impact on users, than drive-bys are. They don't sound as fun to talk about because people all believe they're an above-average driver and they would never download something bad. They might actually go to a web page that has a vulnerability on my machine. That could happen, but I would never do anything wrong myself. Well, it turns out when we look at the statistics that we get from Internet Explorer now, the number of people that download something bad is really high. If you take it something like Conflicker that had one of the largest PR discussions out there, there are people. There's a big debate about it, but they're starting to kind of hone in. The analysts are starting to hone in and say they think about 4.5 million machines were infected. It's not our number. It's just I went to Wikipedia and there it was. Well, that's 4.5 million for the lifetime of one vulnerability. Internet Explorer currently, Internet Explorer 8, blocks 3 million a day of social engineered, and these are the type of attacks where a website says, hey, you've got a virus, you need to download our antivirus software. Or, hey, in order to be able to see the video of this oil spill, you need to download the following video player to see it. And people do it in huge numbers. And so I think what's the cutting edge now is people are starting to really see that. Internet Explorer 8 has targeted that as one of our big investments. We don't think it's going to be enough. We see that being the next moving area, and we see more and more of the social engineering happening because it's easier, as systems get hardened, it's easier to compromise the vulnerability behind the keyboard than it is on the Windows box moving forward. And so I think you're going to see more of that.
So what can we expect to see in browsers, though? What are they going to be doing to help the users to not make those mistakes?
Users need help making trust decisions. If you roll the clock back a few versions of a browser, it felt like a legal dialogue box that said, if you download, proceed at your own risk. It really was like that. It was like handing somebody a gun that may or may not have had a bullet in it. They spin the chamber, they slap it shut, and they say, to proceed, click. And they do it a lot. And even if the gun ever went off, they usually don't know at the time because really they just got a virus. They may not find out for 6 months that it happened. And we weren't providing any information for the users to make good decisions. So the only decision they had was proceed forward or go home, and I'm not telling them anything. Moving forward, reputation systems, just like people, when somebody wants to come get a job, I try to find out their reputation. When I go to get my hardwood floors done, I ask around, I get a reputation. I don't just let the first guy come in to replace the windows in my house. The same thing is going to move forward into browsers, where we're going to start building reputations of not only the entities or things people want to do, where those entities are hosted, what's the infrastructure that lies behind them, who owns those entities, and we're going to start building these reputations. So you might look at the reputation of a window guy that's kind of come replace the windows in your house, but you're going to actually trust the friend of yours more than him. And so we roll these reputations to higher level, more trustworthy things. So you're going to start to see a lot more of that because we have to provide information to users where they can make good trust decisions. And just putting a dialog box up that says, if you click and bad things happen, it's not our fault, is unacceptable moving forward.
Microsoft has advised IE users to upgrade to version 8 as soon as possible because of its up-to-date security features. But according to security firm Zscaler, IE6 still accounts for 25% of the world's web traffic. What is Microsoft doing to encourage users to update their browsers?
you not only need to improve the security, you need to come up with cool, new, flashy, exciting things. And so in 9, for example, we've got a lot of cool, new, flashy things that we're not going to talk about here, but people are going to get the cool security that they don't think about because they want to get the cool, new, flashy other features. And so the security becomes this freebie ride-in. So anytime you look at an install base, it's in the hundreds of millions. It just takes a long time in order to be able to roll those out. Corporations have to go spend money and test to make sure all their line of business applications still work with the new one. So they've got a trade-off they have to go make there about my machines get infected, how much does that cost me, versus I've got to test against my 50 line of business apps to make sure it still works. I can't just assume it does, because one of those may not, and may be a really critical system for that business. So that has a time frame that will continue to go. We continue to try to make it easy for Internet Explorer deployment. It's really in the corporation that makes that happen.
Microsoft is rolling out a new version of Windows Live Hotmail. What new security features can users expect?
This is the most significant release I've ever seen at the company. My expertise lies in the security aspects, but along, like I was kind of mentioning with browser, there's a lot of flashy, cool new things now to go look at in Hotmail. And you're going to get all the great security bonuses as a feature, even though people are probably more excited about getting the cool new flashy features that are within it. From a security standpoint, we have this concept of gray mail. Gray mail is it's mail that really isn't spam. It's what we call CAN-SPAM compliant. It's not illegal. You went to some site, you bought something from that site, and you forgot to uncheck the box that says we're going to pester you every week with our cool new marketing gimmicks. But if you sit behind the keyboard of somebody and have them walk you through their mailbox and say, point out to me everything that's spam, what we've found is 2/3 of what they would call spam is actually this gray mail, this stuff that's totally legal. It's typically internet marketing of something you've opted into. You just didn't know. Maybe a more correct way to say is you didn't opt out of it. And so you get these things in your inbox. You can't just delete that because some people want it and some people don't. One man's spam is another man's ham. Ham being good mail. Some people want it, some don't. So what is a spam engine to do? And so what we've done in this release is created a bunch of features kind of in two buckets, explicit mail personalization and implicit. Implicit being it just happens for the user. In the explicit area, we've created a bunch of new features within Hotmail to make it really easy for you to help manage your mail. Being able to say, hey, this is mail I want, but get it out of my inbox and put it over here. A lot of mail clients have those features, but they're buried in their power user features. Our user experience folks have figured out, how do I make that really simple? And so it's just as easy to organize my mail as just to say delete. Too many people today, when they get that marketing mail, they'll just delete it. And guess what? They get to do that once a week forever. And so they think that their inbox is full of spam. We're making it just as easy to say, no, I don't ever want that again. Or I want it, but please put it over here in a folder I've got set up just for my marketing stuff that I want to go look at later. And I want to keep my inbox clean, full of my social networking and the connection of the people that mean something to me. Then we've got implicit. So for example, when you have 98% of the mail come into your inbox as spam, that's the typical number people talk about. 90% of mail flying over the wire is spam. And our job is to make sure that none of that gets in the inbox. Well, we're not quite successful there. Some small percent gets in. But we have to be careful when we go through the deluge of huge amounts of spam not to make mistakes and put good, valid mail and delete that. So, you know, you could have somebody send you a piece of mail that's absolutely valid mail that might look a little spammy and it could accidentally get deleted. We're using implicit personalization to help understand the people you communicate with and then to be able to say, hey, I don't care what. He could be talking about pharmaceuticals in this mail. I don't care. It's getting to the inbox because it's somebody you communicate with. It's your father, and you've had your discussion with him, and we know that. So why in the world would we ever challenge that mail? So between explicit and implicit, we take this gray mail, and we finally give users a tool that's easy, not a power feature, but an easy user tool where they can identify that gray mail and not have to deal with that every single day the way we do today.
What is Microsoft doing to prevent criminals from stealing login credentials from Hotmail users?
One of the places where that happens is when you're on a machine that's not a secure machine. It's not your machine. You don't know where that machine's been. You don't know what people have done with that machine. You might be at an internet cafe, but you want to get your Hotmail. And so you go there, you log in, you provide your credentials, and there was a keyboard logger sitting on there, boom, done, I got your credentials. And that's a problem. So what we've done is we've created this one-time passcode where when you're sitting in front of an untrusted machine, and in my case, and my dad will kill me if I say this, I'm sitting on my father's machine on vacation. And frankly, I'm a little concerned about putting my password in on his machine. And so I can hit a button, I can put my name in, put my email address in, I can hit a button and say, give me a one-time passcode. My phone beeps, I look at the SMS, and I get a one-time passcode. It's good for one login from that machine. So if there was a keyboard logger there, all they get is the credentials that are only good for once, and I've already used them. We think that it's going to really make people, especially folks that really understand these threats, feel a lot more confident and comfortable accessing their email on the go from machines that they don't control.
For Computer Weekly, I'm Warwick Ashford.